Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hello everyone and welcome back to the All Time Gaming Super Show, the number one gaming podcast on all of your podcasting platforms. What do you reckon? Bold claim? I think it's a bit of a bold claim at the moment. But
bold claim?
We're going to roll with it.
I couldn't understand what you said.
That we're the number one gaming podcast on all podcasts.
Bold claim. It sounded like you was like, bold claim?
Bold claim?
Did you understand that, Robin?
I claimed that ball. That's all I'm going to say. That was, yes.
Steph, introduce your guest, mate.
So with me today, we have the lovely Roisin. She's back on the podcast. How long has it been? A couple of weeks?
I don't remember.
Yeah,
Far too long. And we're also joined by Robin from All Time Gaming Conspiracies.
Thank you for having me. All Time Conspiracies,
all-time
for the record. That is actually
yes, All Time Conspiracies. Just because I say All Time Gaming too many times throughout my day.
Don't worry about it, mate.
So it's stuck in my head. Before we jump in, just a reminder on where you can find us. We are on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook now at All Time Gaming TV. So if you did want to get involved in any kind of discussions, then drop us a message over there.
I like the TV. TV is cool.
All Time Gaming TV.
We're the real deal. Real deal. You are the real deal. Yeah.
We're reaching for the stars. We're hoping to get on the broadcast network.
We fake it till you make it.
So just before we jump into our main topic, which is going to be all about review bombings, just what have you guys been up to? What have you been playing? Recently been playing anything?
Robin, you should talk.
I should talk first. Yeah. Well, I'm probably the worst person to be having on this podcast this week because I haven't played a game for ages.
Have you not?
I haven't had the time. I mean, the most played game I've had for the past 2 months is Sonic Dash. Sonic Dash on my phone.
Sorry, I'm not judging.
No, it's fine. Because it was actually I was prompted by I think like the first teaser image of the new Sonic thing. And made me think about
the racing game.
Yeah.
Or the film. What are we talking about? The game.
The game, not the film. No. Yeah, the game made me think, oh, Sonic Dash. I installed that on my phone, like, I don't know, 4 years ago, whatever it was. And I was like, oh, I'll play it up. And then, they've updated it with loads of stuff. So, besides that, I've been struggling to get through Shadow of the Tomb Raider.
Did you not enjoy it? Or when you say struggling, what do you mean struggling?
It's boring? I've never been so bored by such a polished game, you know. Yeah, like you played it, right?
Yeah, I was quite bored. Yeah.
Did you get all the way through to the end?
No, I did not.
I've been struggling
because I think Red Dead came along, and I was like, I don't need to play anything.
Yeah,
now.
Of course. Yeah, and you got an excuse, I suppose.
Yeah,
I've just been like playing it and being like, this is fine mechanically. Yeah. This is fine. Like, there's a story.
Not really. She's very heartless, I think. Completely. I feel like she's like a sociopath.
Yeah, she is. I found it very strange coming from the original Tomb Raider games, way back in the day. To this one, where you almost want her to be quite innocent, but in Shadow of the Tomb Raider, she ends up being this like ruthless killer.
Yeah,
that she almost doesn't feel guilty about killing anyone.
I don't think it's Lara's problem. I think it's the writing of the game. It's just very 100%. Bad. Like, I'm sorry, but I retract that. Maybe not very bad, but it was some of the interactions and the kind of like how people respond to one another just did not make sense to me. And she just didn't seem to be, she didn't seem to be kind of empathetic or anything really. Like,
yeah, just psycho.
Yeah, not even psycho. Just didn't seem just like she didn't have any feelings, not whatsoever. So it's a bit.
It's weird. I think the biggest indictment of the game is that if you had no other Tomb Raider games ever. And this was the only Tomb Raider game that existed. It wouldn't be a franchise.
Yeah.
It would be that game that some people would be like, oh, that was quite fun.
Yeah.
But it was weird.
Yeah. It's not a bad game, but I wasn't taken by it, to be honest.
How far have you got?
Like 5 hours.
Oh, okay.
And that's something that I've been struggling. I started back in January, and I just kind of played 2 hours.
Fell off it.
Chugged through half an hour and an hour here and there.
Yeah.
Not much at all. I should return the game. I borrowed it from Georgia. All Time Movies.
she's finished it, I think. I think she was one of the first to finish it.
And I remember Georgia not liking it.
Oh, really?
I remember Georgia. She really likes those games, and I remember her saying she was a bit disappointed with the whole
compared to the other ones, the Rise of the Tomb Raider.
Yes, she said it was. Yeah, she said it was a bit disappointing. I mean, obviously, play it. You know, like play. I would say play it yourself to see.
I would say give it a go. I finished it, but I've not tried any of the DLC. I thought that
I didn't even know there was DLC.
I don't think they're full. They're not kind of like full story games. They're more the tomb things? The tomb raiding.
More tombs.
Yeah.
Right.
Challenge tombs. More of that kind of thing.
I bet they're expensive though.
Yeah. Being DLC, they're going to be expensive. Yeah. Cash in where they can.
Yeah. What have you been playing?
What have I been playing? I've been playing Division 2. Still chugging along with that.
There's still a lot of players on it.
Yeah, there seems to be.
Not that it's got quiet, but it's kind of like it came out and then...
Nothing.
Nothing. I guess it's just like, I don't really see much about it. But I guess that's... Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
So they've just delayed the raid, which is the end game content. They've just delayed that. They said it was coming out in May. Well, they said it was coming out in April originally, pushed it back to May, and now nothing's really been said.
Why?
Wow.
No idea. Mm. No clue. But but you've got to grind to find different gear to get your gear score to 505 or 506, something like that.
You like this?
Yeah, I kind of like that. It's very much the Destiny 2 model.
Right. Does Jamie still like it? Does Jamie play it with you?
We've still got the clan.
Right,
PS4 Discord clan. So if you're in our Discord, then you can come and join us on the Division 2.
One of the perks of our Discord.
PlayStation exclusive at the moment, but hoping that more PC gamers come and join the Discord.
But
I've been playing a lot of that and a lot of Anno 1800, which is... Very different. It's a city builder.
Awesome.
I was very.
There's nothing wrong
with
a city builder.
Very hooked on that.
As good as it.
Yeah, it is. it's a strange one because you go into it expecting it to be something like City Skylines or Sim City.
Yeah.
But there's very much objective. It's an objective based city builder.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
Oh, okay.
So there's a bit of direction.
Yeah. There's a direction you need to take your city in.
Okay.
There's things to do outside. Not just the
Sims. Yeah. Not just have at it.
John Babb must be playing that, right?
No, he's not. Kind of he's playing Imperator Rome, Imperatus, which is a spreadsheet.
He says a lot of games like that, and they kind of don't sound the same. Yeah. No offense, Bab.
Very much total
conflict, World War II, Rome. Combat Edition. They're all the same.
But that's what has taken my time. I've just recently started streaming again on the Facebook page, playing Far Cry New Dawn, because I've not played that yet.
Oh.
So I thought I'd play through that on the stream and get it done. It's all right. It's very samey to
Far
Cry 5.
But that is it, though. It's not supposed to be. To be fair, like, it would be silly to us to think it would have been anything exceptional.
We live in a strange world, don't we, when it comes to gaming? Because on the one hand, more of the same is exactly what you want if you love a game.
It's almost as if these developers get stuck in this kind of formula.
Yeah.
They find something that works and then...
If it works,
but we're always demanding something new, which kind of makes sense as consumers. We want an improvement, but at the same time, if every time an improvement fucks up the code and it changes the game, then maybe more of the same is exactly what we want.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Maybe.
Maybe.
So I suppose moving on to kind of our first topic, our only topic for this podcast. We're going to have a shorter podcast today, but really dive into the review bombings that. Are negatively affecting the gaming industry at the moment, or are seemingly negatively affecting the gaming industry. It's a very strange one. I've got here a couple of examples. Campo Santo, who is the developer behind Firewatch, filed a DMCA takedown against PewDiePie because he uttered racial slurs in an unrelated live stream.
Was that 2017, wasn't it? That one?
Yeah.
Before we go into that, can we just... define what review bombing is.
Yeah, absolutely. A review bombing is the culture where a mass group of people would go onto something like Steam or the Epic Game Store or any other kind of storefront and negatively review a game based on either something that's happened within the game
or something
completely unrelated, like a political cause.
Associated.
Yeah.
Okay.
So in terms of the PewDiePie thing.
Yeah. Yes.
So it's artificially inflating or deflating the review score of a game.
Based on just because they didn't agree with whatever's happened, whatever situation it was. Yeah.
Right. So
not on the game because the game's not good.
Oh, right. So, yeah.
Yeah.
So in PewDiePie's instance.
A protest, if you like.
Uh-huh. Yeah, exactly. It's exactly a protest, which could be justified in some instances.
That's not me justifying
maybe
it.
Not.
That's just me saying what I think people think
yeah.
it is.
Yeah, yeah.
But with PewDiePie, PewDiePie's fans were annoyed with
Camposanto
yeah. for, I can't remember what the word is now.
For like, yeah, for just that, like they just didn't want to be associated with PewDiePie.
Yeah.
They just said, yeah. It's not, it, I think, support. Yeah, in that sense, it didn't really matter about if it was to do with their game. They just knew he was a streamer and it was just like, we just don't want to be associated with you. Because
yeah,
of that.
I mean, what was it? The N-word? Did you say the N-word?
Yes,
yeah.
I believe so.
Yeah. I mean, that's understandable. You're a company. You
want
to.
You can do what you want. Yeah. It's your property. Yeah. It's your property.
Yeah.
It's Camposanto's decision. But mm-hmm. yeah, PewDiePie's fans weren't happy because of the censorship that Camposanto instilled on
PewDiePie's
content.
Because it made such a
content.
Big impact on
PewDiePie. Yeah.
Anyway.
On his subscribers. Definitely, yeah.
A second one I've got is Total War Rome 2 added female generals to the game as an update. And people complained about historical accuracy, so they went on to again Steam and review bombed it.
Yeah.
So it forced the developer Creative Assembly to include a slider onto how often, if at all, female generals appear.
That's interesting.
And
I don't know, yeah, that's a weird one, because obviously historical accuracy in your Total War games, that's kind of, I can understand where people are coming from for that.
Sure.
Yeah.
But it's a game.
But it's a game, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's not like Roman generals had a bird's eye view of the battlefield and everybody marched in blocks of 300 soldiers. You know, it's not like it's 100% accurate already. And when was this, by the way? When did this happen?
This was a little while ago now, a few years ago.
I'm just wondering, because like, if that happened today, that wouldn't, there'd be like a review bomb against the review bombing, right?
Yes.
And the Creative Assembly could easily retract that slider and say, hey, for the sake of female equality, we're going to have representation.
Yeah.
And yeah. I don't even think it needs to. Yeah, it's just representation. The politics is brought in by people who get angry about it.
Yeah.
But do you think it's needed?
What?
The politics within gaming. As in, do you think people should be getting annoyed
with
a political agenda?
No, because it's gaming. Because I think they accuse companies and developers of making it political because they bring women in. But it's not. I don't think it's not a political thing. I think it's about representation. And, you know, it's not. I think they bring the political stance in.
Yeah.
So it's not. I don't. Yeah, they're the ones who get angry over something that I don't think they should really, or just don't think that's necessary. Like it's not a thing. It's I think people think that and people aren't gonna like me about this, but they don't really care. People think that the world kind of revolves around their opinion.
Yeah.
And it's just like there's so many other people out there who look like different people who play games, and a bit of representation is not gonna hurt anybody.
Yeah. Well, this is the thing.
That's an interesting point. Yeah.
That's the thing I think of it.
Because it's not, I don't think it is political. It's a way of for the company to make more money.
Yeah.
If they're gonna have more, if they're gonna have women in the thing, in the game, sorry, it's more. But it's gonna attract a bigger audience. Sorry.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's only good for them.
That's a really interesting.
It's not political. It's money.
Yeah.
I feel like they bring a political stance with their anger and their opinions.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just representation and money.
I mean, that's an interesting point, because like with any game. And like stories and movies, books. Books and movies and comic books and everything like that. They've got an audience they want to reach, like you say.
Yeah.
For monetary reasons, they want to reach as many people
then
as possible. They've got a readership. Gamers aren't all men.
No.
Not all Total War gamers are men. There must be women who play them.
Yeah.
So if those female players feel like they would benefit from having more female representation in the game, then that's does Creative Assembly's responsibility, A, to their shareholders, and B, to their audience, trump their responsibility to historical accuracy in a game?
I think it does.
Yeah?
Because I think as a kind of fan service, games are built for fans, right?
Yeah.
Games are built for the audience.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah.
And I think if a developer can do anything to make something more inclusive, rather than making either a gender of people, or even just a tiny small minority group of people feel excluded from that, I think that's wrong.
Yeah.
So I think it's a good thing that they try and include as many people through various different ways as possible.
More people are playing games more than ever. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's becoming part of the mainstream.
That's
now.
True as well. Yeah. Gaming is very popular.
And I will bring it back to, like, to be insensitive and be cold. It's about the money. Like, it is about the money. So it's just a bit like, this is the way the world is changing on all fronts, within our movies, within our within pop culture as a whole. Representation is on the rise, and it's just something that I think people just need to get over it, like, because it is what it is. I understand the inaccuracies as well, but to get so annoyed about it,
that's what's interesting.
I just don't if I'm honest, I do not understand it, and I just feel like you have the option to play as a male or a female. You choose it, like, you get it. It's your choice. You got angry.
I just
don't. After a while, it's just like, what more is there to? I don't think there's. We don't need to entertain it too much, because it's just a bit like, it is what it is. So, and it, like, all, even with the Firewatch stuff, it's like, the game was released how long ago, and then why did they went and review bombed it?
It was a complete. Yeah.
Doesn't make sense. Like, that game, I knew about this situation, but I had no, like, I didn't see any negative comments. I've never seen a negative comment about Firewatch. Yeah. If anything, it's a game that is always recommended to me. Did your protest work? I don't think it did.
I don't think it did.
It didn't seem to have worked at all.
The strange thing was the unrelated video that.
Yes.
That PewDiePie wasn't even making a Firewatch video.
Right. So when that's he why said they what he said. And then Campo Santo. But I mean, if it is down, I feel like with Campo Santo, if it comes down to their values and how they want to be portrayed in the world, if they released a game and there was an there could have been, and with one of the biggest YouTube gaming stars that there is, I feel like it's their right to be like, we don't want to be associated with you.
Yeah.
And if they, I feel like there's nothing, just like people are able to speak up and say, that, oh, I'm angry that there's a woman in this game, they can speak up and say, I don't want PewDiePie playing anything that we ever release. Like, I just think it's fair, it's fair game. That's the thing. We have to listen to everybody on every front. That's what I mean. I do consider what people say, but I just think, what's the answer? It's down to you to get to, you know, like, resolve that and feel like, oh, am I going to be angry about this, or am I just going to keep, because you're going to still play the game as well. Everyone will still play the game, whatever game it is.
It's an interesting
one. We like to play games.
so just to play devil's advocate for a minute and talk about, say, the power and effectiveness and significance of review bombing, is the Firewatch example a good example of the importance and kind of merits of review bombing, because the game is so loved and because everyone already bought and played their copies? If you then retroactively go back and review bomb it, it's obviously a protest.
Yeah.
So if you're the review bomber, that's an example of where you could say, hey, I'm review bombing your product, but it's obvious that I'm not trying to negatively affect you. It's clearly I'm making a statement because I've already bought and played the game. Everybody already thinks your game is amazing. So clearly I know my review bomb is not going to affect you. However, the statement is made. This is I'm just saying.
Yeah.
That's an argument in favor of review bombing, right?
Right. Yeah.
In this example.
Point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then there's a difference with, like, Total War Rome 2.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Rome 2.
Rome
not
2
Total
War
2 Rome. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Sorry, I have played these games. I forget them. That's one where they, like it says, they introduced female generals, people review bombed them, and then the company responded by introducing a slider to reduce, if you wished, the frequency of female generals. That sounds, it's hard not to interpret that as sexist.
Yeah, because it's like they're pandering to people.
So that's an example of where it's like, review bombing isn't a statement anymore, it's actually...
It's like fan service, or it's like that. It's like it's like listening to, not fan service, but like I don't know. Yeah, like, okay, we'll do it.
Yeah.
Or giving in a way. But then it's like also you've got the option to just take that slider all the way down. Like, I don't. Do you know what I mean? That's also another thing. It's just like there's a slider now, and that's if that's how you want to play the game. Yeah. Then good for you.
So the rebombing was a good thing in that example
because you got a slider. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean. I think it's kind of ridiculous, but because anyway, but I mean, I don't know, it's not stopped that kind of mentality of going after a company, because as you've got another example right here, Steph, as I can see, we're going to go into in a minute. Yeah. So it hasn't really stopped people from, maybe it fueled it. Maybe that's what it is. It's fueled it and it's made it because they've gone, oh, they got a slider in total. So if we start bombarding people.
We do not negotiate with terrorists. Once we do, it will never stop. That's exactly what's happening.
It's a sticky situation.
It is. Which I'll segue on from that onto my next example, which is more modern. It's probably the biggest of late at the moment. Epic Game Store exclusives get review bombed for stealing, and I've put that in kind of quotation, stealing content from Steam.
Yeah.
Notable games are Metro Exodus and Borderlands 3. However, older Borderlands games on Steam receive the same treatment, which I find confusing, which I'll go into. So essentially, Borderlands, if we start with Borderlands, Borderlands 1, 2, and the pre-sequel were sold on Steam.
Yeah.
Epic Games have now won a bid with the publisher of Borderlands. I can't remember who it was now. 2K? With 2K to sell exclusively Borderlands 3 through Epic Games Store.
Okay, right.
Now, there's a massive argument at the moment about how royalties and profit is divvied up. Steam at the moment take a 70-30 split, so they take 30% of everything that a publisher owns. Epic Games have said the publisher can have 88%
because they need it. They need to. That's what they need to build their.
Libraries. They need to build their AAA games. So they've undercut Steam massively.
Yeah.
But now people are getting very annoyed because they've got Steam accounts. They've been invested in Steam for the last 15 years. They're thinking, we don't want another game store on our computers.
See, this is different because I understand this. Because this is different because this is the people against the big companies. So I get this because how annoying is it? How many accounts are we going to have for all different things? You know what I mean? That's like you've got... Now it's the idea of like how video on demand has gone, where it's like you've got Netflix and you've got Amazon Prime and you've got Now TV and you only can watch Game of Thrones on this, but you can't watch... You can't watch It's Always Sunny on Netflix. So it's just like, what? Like you have to... Now it's like you have to think about your wallet and like what are you going to spend your time on? And it's like it takes the enjoyment out of the things you love. So I do get that frustration.
But why review bomb?
This is the crazy thing. Yeah. There were reviews coming out on the older Borderlands games. Now, bearing in mind, these games are 10 years old, maybe?
Eight years old?
So people were now review bombing Borderlands 2, the original Borderlands and Borderlands 2, saying...
On Epic Games.
On Steam.
Oh, sorry, on Steam.
Saying, don't buy these games because the new sequel is going to be available in Epic Games and that's rubbish.
There is a sort of reverse.
That's stupid logic. Sorry.
Yeah, exactly.
No, go for it, Robin.
If you're pro Steam and anti Epic Games, you don't then tell Steam users not to buy Steam products.
That's not what you do. Yeah, which is the confusing point.
Because they couldn't be bothered to make an Epic Games account and review bomb there, right? That's exactly why they did that.
Well, the older Borderlands games aren't available through the Epic Game Store. They're only available.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, you did say that. Yeah, yeah.
So
it's like leaving. But I mean, make a Reddit post or something about it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like there's just different ways of approaching the situation. I
mean, like this is a grab them by the wallet situation. The companies, that is. You just don't buy Borderlands 3 on Epic Games, and then 2K.
Probably got it on PlayStation Now anyway.
Yeah.
Which you're paying $7.99 for. So.
Well, that makes sense to me. It's weird because like this is similar to the whole Xbox One exclusives. Going back to Tomb Raider, for example.
Yes.
And then PS4 exclusives. And people for years have said, that's annoying when there's a PS4 exclusive.
But we get over it.
We get it, exactly. It's been going on for nearly two decades now, where there's been a console exclusive games.
Yeah.
And people just live with it.
But it's also kind of like, that's why there's different movie studios. Do you know what I mean? Where everybody's going to have a property. Like, so it's... I don't understand. I do understand the frustration from the people, as I said, because of I do feel like now it's like you got to sign up for this and this and this to play or watch one thing.
Yeah.
But to a certain degree, it's a bit like this is how the world works, and I feel like again, it's that kind of people live in their own bubbles and just think
totally.
I don't know. Sometimes it's just like that's just the way it is. Sometimes I don't. It's just a bit like
I feel sorry for the studios because like what do the gamers want? Because
we're giving them conflicted
exactly because obviously most people use Steam, they love Steam is very easy to use. You mentioned the comparison in other media of Netflix. Everyone's like, oh, I've got one streaming service, I'm going to use that one streaming service. Oh, I can't get everything on that streaming service, that's really annoying. But then
And then you we're give constantly given.
You give it, but we're constantly complaining about how we have to subscribe to streaming services and how, like, well, we are chokeholded by these companies.
Yeah.
Where, like, Google has the internet basically for most people.
Yeah.
People don't really use Bing or
is Jeeves still
alive? I don't know.
Jeeves. RIP Jeeves.
Yeah, exactly. People don't use that stuff, and they're like. And that's fine on the one hand, because people get a choice, and if the best company is providing the best service and they win the war, like VHS beat Betamax back in the 80s or whatever, then they win the war. But at the same time, people are constantly saying, oh, don't give Google all your information. You know, find another provider. Don't just use Netflix. Or, you know, because once Netflix owns the market, it owns everything, and then it controls what you can see, and it controls exactly how much you pay for what you see.
Yeah.
Because, so I understand exactly, as someone who likes TV and movies, all these streaming services piss me off, because there's no way I'm going to be able to afford to watch everything I want to watch because I can't subscribe to all these services. I get that, which is what you were saying.
Yeah, yeah.
But then, at the same time, I don't want Netflix to be the only streaming service out there.
Yeah.
Because otherwise it'll say, hey, you're going to have to pay me 100 quid a month.
Because that's like, why that's kind of like why cable's not a thing anymore, like Sky. Yeah, that's why it doesn't, the model doesn't, it's like for an older generation, I think.
I just like, I feel sorry for the studios in this situation, because here I am saying this confusing mass of words, and you're all probably listening thinking, what the hell is he saying? But the gist of it is, if I'm a studio looking at it, I'm like, so do the gamers want us to just do everything through Steam, or do they want us to have competition? I'm confused.
I think having the Epic Game Store certainly is a good thing, because as you said, Steam have had the monopoly over PC games specifically for,
and then when they were doing well, they were doing well
over a decade.
I was talking to Steph like yesterday, and I feel like, you know, maybe I feel like Steam needs to not level up, but like I thought that Valve would be in the situation that Google's in, where they're making a console that streams, like they're making their own thing. They're making their own thing, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
They're getting into games, and I felt like that was probably the more logical route that Valve would go down.
Yeah.
But I don't know, like, there is gonna, if you do something for the same for too long, and someone's gonna come along and look at that model and go, oh, actually, we can add this to that. And then, you know what I mean? So it's just a bit like, well, that's just...
Yes, the market,
that's
competition.
That's how
it
is. Unfortunately.
The funny thing is, Epic Games tweeted at Steam that if they were to drop their percentage take to the 12 split, they'd then drop exclusivity of the games that they've already won. So then Steam can release them.
Interesting.
So that's an interesting take as well, because I think it does come down to business and how much these developers or these publishers want to make.
Yeah.
If Epic Games are going into these boardrooms saying, you can make X amount of pounds with us, and Steam is saying, well, you can make X amount of pounds, it's a no-brainer.
A
publisher is going to say, you're just going to give me more money.
Yeah.
Epic Games are doing the right thing for their business. Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
Although, just a note to Steam users, join Epic Games. Join all the other rivals to Steam. Stop using Steam. Because if Steam start losing money, then they're going to have to make Half-Life 3.
That's what we suggested. I said to Steph, they need to update the Steam link and make it totally like just wireless.
Yeah, so
cloud-based. It's like a key. You could or it's a controller, and it's all in the I don't know what I'm talking about, but it's all in the controller, just like the Google thing.
Because
that's just like that's what should happen. And then they need their own like AAA game that is exclusive to Steam, and it will bring people back to what they love. And I'm not saying it's gonna be Half-Life 3, but you know,
it better be Half-Life 3.
I mean, if it wasn't, then that'd be crazy. But yeah, I feel like, you know, you have to grab the consumer's attention, and you have to, make it worth their while. It's conflicting. It's hard.
So I think there's also something like Football Manager, that we were speaking about yesterday, where their games are review bombed for not including Chinese translation. Which, would you say that's a justified review bombing, because it's coming back to the inclusivity?
Were the review bombs all in Chinese?
I don't know.
Because do they have any translators at
Football Managers?
Football Managers.
Football Managers are very old.
If something is wrong with a product,
niche game. So
which that is, like that's yeah. that I think that's a reasonable thing to be like. Okay. Well, yeah. Why isn't there?
Yeah.
Like I don't think that's that. I wouldn't even consider that a review bomb necessarily because it's not.
That's actually a review, isn't it?
That's like a review.
You have no Chinese mode. I can't play this.
Yeah.
It's not bringing
something. There's not a motive for something else that happened to kind of to destroy the reputation
that's
of
a very
it.
Good point.
So
yeah.
it's just like I feel like no, they're just it's kind of like feedback if anything. Yeah. Like you're entitled to give
mass
something two
feedback.
Stars.
Yeah.
You are entitled to not like something. You know, you are entitled to say if you feel something is wrong. And to me, that is that is understandable. And I wouldn't personally say that was a review bomb.
That's an interesting point.
The fact
that's just
that
a review,
maybe Football Manager maybe should have just been a bit more
I wonder why
of that. Yeah,
that's
I don't
a
know
huge
why.
Market they didn't include. By
well, that's
it's
the
like
thing
one of
I'm thinking
games,
is
which I don't understand why, but anyway.
Why did they just isolate
yeah,
I know.
A huge market?
Yeah,
for the sake of not translating the language.
Mm.
I mean, being a Football Manager to a game is probably going to be a massive job. Because it's just all text on a screen.
It's vital. So yeah, it is a bit of a drop the ball moment for the developers probably because,
Do we know, are they going to do a translation? Because presumably you could fix that with a...
I think they did, right? Is that, this is like
a patch.
This is like a pass.
Nothing, when I was researching the Football Manager, I saw nothing about any kind of patch yet.
Oh, right.
So whether it's in the works, I don't know. Okay. It should be in the works if they can patch a PC game quite easily now.
Yeah.
They should definitely cater to that audience.
Yeah.
Well, Steam are actually working on going on to kind of the next branch of this topic. Steam are working on an off-topic review bomb system, which at the moment they have staff that manually remove all review scores from the time of the bomb started. So they have to track when something negative has been said on a review and then see if that has any kind of leverage for more people coming along to give it an unjustified review bomb, like the PewDiePie example.
Right,
but how would that be monitored? Because again,
that's tough. Yeah.
It's conflicting because people can use it for their own motive and their own protest. But then when people are, I feel like as I said, if a game is bad, we're putting a lot of money into a game.
Mm.
That's one of the things that I have a problem with the industry, and I'm very vocal about. I have to really think about what I buy because. Mm. I'm not satisfied a lot of the time in the last 2 years and like working with gaming and getting really back into games. Sometimes I'm disappointed with what I receive when I'm buying a game.
Yeah.
So I think people, I feel like we do have to have every right to be, because it's not cheap. And if you buy DLC as well and you want to, you're looking forward to a game or a game is advertised to you in a certain way and you're like, oh, this, and then it comes out and it's not quite like that.
Yeah.
You know, consumers have every right to be like, this is bad. And So my point is, how is it going to be regulated from how is it going to differentiate and filter out people who are just bombing it for the sake of being kind of having their own motives behind it, or at genuinely saying to the developer, no, this game is not good.
I think with the review bombs, the unrelated review bombs, it gets very hard to differentiate between what is the review bomb and what is just an honest review of a
like
bad
Anthem,
game.
People could have just been like Anthem. So maybe that could have been a considered. I know people were angry and it probably was justifiable. But imagine if that happened. That could have been considered a review bomb because of all the negative comments that came flooding into it. And obviously that's not through Steam. But you know, if that was on Steam, how would that be filtered out, or how would it be regulated? So do those comments kind of just disappear?
No.
Do you know what I mean? Do they just take those comments down?
Yeah.
What Steam have said
is
that the reviews will remain, but the scores that users give won't go to the overall score of the game.
Right.
So if these review bombers, you'll be able to still see people saying, "Don't buy this because it's being sold on Epic Games," for example.
Okay.
But the actual percentage score, which would inevitably drive down the game's overall review percentage, that is being removed.
It'll still be difficult, I think, for them to tell apart some reviews from review bombs. like ones like that, whereas definitely don't buy this because it's on Epic Games, and that's obviously a review bomb.
Right.
But if it's like you say, if it's just like don't buy this game, it's like, wait a second, is that a review bomb
or is
that a genuine like criticism,
or is it like culture? Because there is a kind of call out culture bleeds into the gaming culture where people say this game is shit, and then everyone goes
and that's it.
And that's the end of the game.
Yeah,
and it's a bit like, and I'm not saying that they're wrong necessarily, but I think there is a thing where people, they're okay with kind of just agreeing blindly. Yeah. And it's just like, you get a lot, and there is that kind of, that's when people do get angry at EA, and you know, and sometimes it is good. Sometimes, you know, I feel like the microtransactions Star Wars Battlefront 2 was very, I don't know, that was cool. That was kind of cool in a way, because it's like, oh shit, they actually did it or whatever. Yeah. But then,
most unpopular post in Reddit history.
Yeah.
Went to EA and Star Wars.
To a certain degree, there's something admirable about it. But, like,
well, that's the thing. I think, If people do have that kind of group mentality to band
Mob.
Together and protest something, then, I think any kind of changes that can come of that is awesome.
Mm.
Like the slider in Rome, like EA and removing loot boxes. I mean, Christ, even a country has now banned loot boxes from... Was it Belgium?
Yeah.
The Belgian government have banned loot boxes now.
But I feel like that's for the greater good. I feel like for a slider, that is not for the greater good. But anyway, I think that's just crazy. But
then, oh man.
But do you think something
like
Belgium...
But it's people's business. It's people's business. If people want to put that slide all the way down, then cool, whatever. It's nice.
No, I'm just thinking like it's... sorry to interrupt, Seth.
Sorry, Norris.
So yeah, net benefit, right?
Yeah.
To review bombing, it's people coming together saying... We don't like this. It's not necessarily the game itself is bad, but the game is missing something, like a Chinese translation.
Yeah.
Or it's missing something, like badly needs this patch. Mm. In which case, review bombing is just the natural outcome of reviews. And, and reviews, like you say, are feedback, which is great. I mean, look what happened to Arkham Knight back in 2015.
Yeah.
The PC version. Literally unplayable.
Yeah.
And so people say...
And people banded together and then they were right. Yeah.
And then they took it away, patched it, re-released it, and it was okay.
Yeah.
So I guess you can say, you must say, review bombing has to be allowed, is a good thing, because there might be rare examples where it's clearly just politically motivated.
Yeah.
And that's bad. Mm. But then if you... It's a bit like free speech. You got to let people say what they got to say.
Well, that's the biggest thing as well. If Steam get too involved and start removing review comments, what's stopping...
Or not applying it to the score.
Or not applying it to scores. What's stopping then Steam censoring what people are saying?
So this is what...
Product?
This is where I'm a bit... This is where I'm a bit like, man.
Yeah.
Like, this is where it needs to... Yeah.
But then...
Because I'm all for... I'm not for censoring.
Man. It works both ways, though. So, personally, I think Campo Santo, going back to the beginning... were
entitled
to say, hey, you're racist, I'm not going to support
we
you anymore.
This is offensive, we don't want it. Yeah.
And then people...
Because that was the guy who, I'm not sure, I don't know his name, but I believe that was also in a tweet, the like, not the head or the CEO kind of was just he wrote a tweet himself like, I don't want to be associated with it. And I just think, cool.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, like, fair dues.
Yeah.
Like, that's cool. Sorry, Robin. Yeah,
no, I was just going to say, just back to free speech, like, let's have review bombing, let's allow review bombing, as long as the review bombers are aware that people can respond to their review bombs.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it might be, maybe we should allow Steam and similar things like this, where the companies are saying, hey, we appreciate that you're review bombing us, but we think your review bomb is unwarranted, so we're just going to ignore you. Because like the Campo Santo thing, people were responding to him responding to PewDiePie, but he was entitled to do that. And so... I would absolutely support Campo Santo if their response to the review bombs was to delete them all from their websites or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, because it's like, well, you're responding to this specific thing that's completely unrelated to the game.
Yeah.
So Steam, in that sense, I can kind of get it. And they're doing this halfway house of like, we'll remove your score so it doesn't get brought into the maths of it. But we'll
because it's affecting their money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the also thing. So, it's just affecting their percentage that they're getting. So.
Yeah. But then, I don't know.
So it's also, but just to individuals as well, just make your own opinions. Just kind of, you know, obviously listen to what other people say, but, you know, don't be scared to hold your own opinion and play a game for yourself or maybe, you know what I mean? Or don't take everything so personally, I'd say.
Yeah. Or better still, properly elaborate upon your opinion.
Yeah.
Don't just write, this game is bad. Don't buy this game. Do something.
Don't buy this game because of Epic Games.
Yeah, yeah.
Do maybe like make a petition. Do you know what I mean? There's spaces for this kind of protest.
Yeah.
I don't think a review comment section is the place to do it. Yeah. Personally.
Keyboard that's just warrior.
Like that's like poaching people.
Yeah.
That's like grabbing people. Yeah. Just saying, but like propaganda. Going, oh, have you seen this? Yeah. Like no, like make like a Reddit post. There's places for that. Yeah. I think personally, but.
But I guess the weird thing is it seems to be working.
Yeah, there's there's way more people do it, yeah.
Yeah, and because we live in the culture now where online reviews actually seem to have an effect on companies.
I think even online opinions, as I said, when an opinion rolls, it gets bigger and bigger and it gets, and everybody agrees
absolutely,
on it. And then it becomes the truth. It's not an opinion anymore. It's like it becomes fact. Yeah. So,
but
to
go off on a tangent, but related to this.
Mm-hmm.
You can review bomb the trailer to Sonic all you like. That movie exists.
That was weird.
And it's coming out. And we can't stop it.
We cannot stop
it. It's horrendous. And there's an interesting
example. I think we're going to talk about that.
Yeah. that's coming out.
Jeez. If you're going to protest the Sonic movie, don't go to the movie.
Yeah.
That's how you do it.
Yes. Well, Robin, you made an interesting point about how reviews are definitely relevant in this in this day and age, which moves me on to my next issue with sites like IGN and GameSpot. With their Days Gone review, even a video that we released a week ago, maybe was it Roche?
Yes.
A week and a half ago?
Oh, Days Gone.
Days Gone. Now, someone, IGN and GameSpot, you would go and read their reviews because you would expect them to give an honest opinion about a game.
Mm.
You'd hope.
You would hope. Yeah. You'd hope.
Unless they're plagiarizing small YouTubers, then that's a different issue. But
all the Sony check arrived.
Yeah.
I love that comment. The Sony check is cleared.
Yeah. Check's cleared. Giving it a good score.
Check's cleared.
But it's no secret online that Days Gone has reviewed very
averagely.
Averagely, yeah, I would say averagely across the board. IGN gave it a 6 out of 10, and even GameSpot gave it a 5 out of 10.
Yeah.
People are then review bombing their content.
Yeah.
So IGN and GameSpot's videos, their actual written reviews on their websites. So to me, it almost makes it seem irrelevant that IGN has written that review.
Yeah, yeah,
because the public has spoken and said, actually, this is a good game. You've got it wrong.
In which case, why are they bothering to review bomb?
Yeah.
They've got their own opinion already.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then it also brings me to a question where would IGN or would GameSpot write a review?
Yeah.
Or would any publisher of a written word write a review based on what's already sort of circulating in the community.
Like, yeah, so also Days Gone.
I know some reviewers who've definitely written reviews based on stuff that's already circulating in the community.
But if they go onto a forum and everyone's saying, yeah, Days Gone is awesome, would they write their review saying that Days Gone is awesome? Because people will read it.
Well, no, they shouldn't, should they? They should be honest.
They shouldn't, but then would a business fail? Because we know that YouTube and websites rely on things like ad revenue
just
and
like
people
they had
visiting
to add the
and things
slider.
Like that.
Are they gonna have to? Are they gonna have to?
Oh man!
Make it's sticky because let's be honest. I think Days Gone wasn't the most anticipated game of this year.
No,
no.
I'm not saying that it was going to be a bad game
because
I think that it's another game that people generally. When I spoke to people, everyone was a bit like, "Nah, like it's not going to be great."
Yeah.
And I. If I'm honest, I'm not going to play it anyway because I don't like zombie games. I'm scared of them. So I will not enjoy the experience of trying to survive.
A whole 100 zombies.
Yes. It frightens me. But I wasn't willing to just go, yeah, you're probably right. I wasn't willing to just kind of be, I wasn't willing to just kind of agree, blindly agree and kind of go with this narrative that this game is going to be mediocre or whatever.
Yeah.
So when the reviews came out, I wasn't surprised.
Yeah.
So did IGN kind of are they kind of some of the people who set that narrative who kind of go, this game is going to be? Because I don't know if you feel like the same, but like there's always kind of like an opinion out there before a game's released. Like, Like yes, people, yeah. People just decide that, oh, this game is...
People look at early access footage and early gameplay stuff and they pick go, it oh, that's going to be an awesome game, or that's going to be a bad game.
Yeah, and I feel like that's when you set the narrative of that game there and
right,
then.
Right, yeah, yeah.
And I don't know if IGN and GameSpot contribute to that. I'm not too sure. So maybe, like, it's kind of... It's... I don't know, because... just like with the Rotten Tomatoes, the audience views, not just to use an example.
Yeah.
Sometimes the audience reviews are like really high. Rotten Tomatoes will give it really low, or the other way around.
Yeah.
So I just feel like, is it the press fault? And is this a good thing that, in this sense, is it a good thing that the consumer is going, no, actually, it's good. So I don't know what you're talking about. Or... is it kind of that blind kind of, because they are so dedicated to the game and they're very dedicated to Sony and they're loyal to Sony, that they're like, this will be a good game.
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean? If that makes sense. So it either goes, you either got people going, nah, or you got people like, no, it's going to be really good. There's no middle ground.
Yeah.
There's no kind of like.
Yeah, things can be average.
Just people going, do you know what? There's this, and I think, to be fair to IGN, they just said it was. I don't think they said it was horrendous.
They didn't say it was horrendous. They just said it was an average game.
They just said it was an average game, which was anticipated. I think everybody kind of, as I said, nobody. Yeah. Some people even forgot about it because of the pushbacks.
I forgot about it, to be honest.
Robin forgot about it, and he has a PlayStation.
And then
and it's a Sony exclusive.
Exactly.
Do you know what I mean?
I've had the adverts, and I just forgot about it.
Yeah, it's also kind of like a game that we've already had many, many, many times.
Yeah,
Do you know what I mean? So for people to be so angry, I'm not sure. I like, that's again, I like that consumers can stand up to them and be like, no. So I like when I see the review, like in Rotten Tomatoes, when the audience thing is really high and the Rotten Tomatoes is kind of average one, because it's like, no, people are going, do you know what? I like this. And I think sometimes we do need to listen to our friends, or we listen to like people who are not... who don't like edit their work, do you know what I mean, and put it out for press. But it's
as long as you're not jumping on a bandwagon, whether it's a negative one or a positive one, as long as you're actually giving your own honest view and saying, hey, you gave a bad review but I liked this game, or you gave it a good review and this game was personally terrible for me. But it's a catch 22, right? I think we all agree. If you don't have, if you're a world without game reviewers or reviewers for any medium,
a critic,
without any critics, then consumers don't have any kind of guideline.
Gauge,
they don't know whether they should invest in something, and particularly with games, far more than any other medium.
Yeah.
It's a big investment you've got to make every single time. So you got to have the critics, but then if the critics don't chime with the audience, then
is it about refreshing the approach? Because that was kind of what I was going to get along to. Like, is it because everybody can share their opinions now?
Yeah.
Is it irrelevant? Like, because everyone can go on Twitter and say this is this and this is that, and then it's just kind of like, oh, I saw more good stuff, so I think it's going to be good. And then it's like somebody says, oh no, I saw more bad stuff. So does it? Is it? Yeah. Is reviewing?
Oh man, there's no way around it, is there? Because
is giving something a 6 out of 10? Does it mean anything?
I mean, from IGN in particular, because they still haven't shaken off that reputation for 10 out of 10 IGN. You know? it's still
10
there.
10 out of 10 IGN.
Even though they've done quite a lot in the last few years to be more, what's the word, discerning.
Yeah.
They haven't shaken that reputation. So when IGN comes along and gives a game, maybe that's where it comes from. They give a game 6.6 out of 10, and people are like, hey, you give everything 10.
Yeah.
Why, and this game's okay, so what's wrong with you? Maybe that's where it comes from, I don't know.
Yeah.
So it's the review system is all trust, right?
Yeah.
You've got to trust, A, that the critics are being fair-minded and not being influenced one way or the other.
Yes.
And B, you've got to trust that users are giving an honest review of a game. So, like, this is the problem with review bombing, is that it's motivated by something other than the quality of the product most of the time, or sometimes. So you've got to exercise your own judgment. And then, like you say, but if you're having to exercise your own judgment when you're reading feedback reviews, are the reviews pointless in the first place? I've just gone around in a big circle.
No, it's not like they gave the game like 2 out of 10.
Yeah, they didn't hate the game.
No.
I think 6 out of 10 is the lowest that IGN would ever give a game, I think.
Yeah.
I've never
seen it. Just in case, they don't want to fucking... Yeah.
Imagine if they'd given it a 4.
Yeah.
That would be the end of IGN. Yeah. Sony would never talk to them ever again.
I think having a mix between the two is good. Having a professional's opinion. Because you've got to class them as professionals. They're writing about games for a living. So you've got to class their opinion.
And the reason why they're so big is because people have trusted them.
Yeah.
But then I think it's also good to consider user reviews as well, I think. Yeah. Just to get a full-rounded opinion. Because there are going to be people out there that are going to love zombies. And zombie films, zombie books, zombie games, and that's all they love. So they are going to absolutely love Days Gone.
But isn't it like, as I said, it's the approach you take. Like going onto old IGN videos and kind of like...
Yeah.
It's like protest smart, I think. I don't know. That's my personal opinion. Yeah. It's just like, there's a place for that. And the place in that is the Days Gone review comment section, I think, personally.
Yeah.
And as I said, there are spaces where you can vent and you can say what you disagree with. And I just think it's about being smart about it.
Yeah.
Because otherwise it does look like a mob kind of thing.
Yeah.
And that's, to me, that's not very attractive. Even if I do agree with them and I do think some of the stuff is cool, like, as I said, standing up for what you're believing and not being scared. But then there's a part of it that's going, well, I don't want to be a part of that. I'd rather play the game myself.
Yeah.
And go, I'll consider what they say. I consider what IGN say. I consider what they say.
Yeah.
And then I'll play the game and make my own opinion.
Yeah.
I think what
you do is probably what most people do.
I'd like to think that. Sometimes I feel like, stuff gets polarized and it's like, this is news. They're going mental. And it's like, actually, probably not.
This is the worst thing ever. it's kind of, just kind of summarize my thoughts, if I may.
Yeah,
certainly.
What you just said, Steph, was interesting, which is there are going to be people who will love Days Gone because it's an open world zombie game with hordes of zombies. And it's like, that's what I'm into. Also,
there's a bike. There's cool aspects to it,
and that's absolutely fine. Mm. And those people have a great time. But then there's going to be people who don't like bikes, don't like zombies, and might play the game and be like, they're focusing on the mechanical faults of the game because they're not into the concept of the game.
Yeah,
and then maybe we should. I don't know if this is like morally right, but maybe professional reviewers should have like a disclosure thing at the beginning of every single video, which is, by the way, I don't like bikers and don't like zombies.
I think it then opens you up to be as critical as possible.
Yeah.
Look, I don't like zombies. I don't like bikers. This is my review of Days Gone.
Yeah.
2 out of 10.
and we all know this happens, like magazines, even the really trustworthy ones, the ones that don't plagiarize and don't get paid reviews or anything like that, they will have a whole pool of reviewers and the editor will be like, hey, you like zombie games.
You go play Days Gone. Have a feeling,
And that's automatically going to inflate the score, isn't it? Or it's going to artificially deflate it, because if they love something, then they might really hate it when they get it slightly wrong. You're like, everyone who plays Last of Us Part 2 and it's not quite what they expect from playing Last of Us Part 1.
Yes. Or I think it gets compared to like God of War as well.
Yeah.
Because, and I think that's quite hard.
Because
it's like the exclusive. Yeah.
Maybe that's a potential solution. Reviewers at the beginning of every review should say, full disclosure, I love this, I don't love this. Bear that in mind when reading my review.
Yeah.
We're all human at the end of
the
day.
Yeah.
Everyone's gonna be having an opinion on something. That's the other thing. Like, I don't know, you go to, I think I watch certain YouTubers or something, or like, especially when it comes to reviews or like TV analysis, because I know what I'm gonna get from them.
Yeah.
And I feel like because they've understood something that we feel the same, not to sound cheesy, but like, I feel like if we're on the same level thinking like what we like, then I can trust their judgment more. So even with like, not to spoil Game of Thrones, but like I've watched a few things over the past days and there's videos that I've gone, nah, I don't agree with you. Yeah. But then there's stuff when I've gone, I get that opinion and that thought. So I feel like, you've got to be open more to it. You've got to be, we're just all human.
That's
everyone's
a very
gonna be
good
different.
Point, yeah.
Find
the reviewers you trust.
If you're that passionate about it, find someone that you know that's going to be exactly have all the opinions.
Reinforce your own views. Echo chamber. This is what we want. Oh, man.
The world is crazy.
Gosh, there is no easy answer.
And there's a Sonic film.
We're going to I think we're going to move on to talking about that. But before we move on going through to the comments that we received from you guys, just to let you know, again, we are on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at All Time Gaming TV. And if you want to ask us anything, if you've got a burning question, then you can use the hashtag AskATG and leave us a comment, and then we will definitely try and get to answering your questions in each episode of our podcast. But today, some of the questions, if not all of the questions that came in to me over the last few days, is about Sonic. Sonic the Hedgehog, Sonic the movie trailer. Betucci 12, sorry if I haven't pronounced Betucci your name correctly. 12.
Since you guys are all time gaming.
Yeah.
And they didn't expect me to be here.
Yeah.
Can I ask the questions and get your views?
Yeah, absolutely.
Go for it.
So, Betucci 12, as you just heard, said or asked, what do you guys make of the new Sonic movie trailer?
I thought it was random. I thought Sonic was was very, very badly done.
When I was a kid, I thought Sonic was cool.
Sonic like, now is not cool.
I didn't really realize. Like, I don't know, the kind of... Yeah, that's another thing that's a narrative. Because Sonic is like, there's either people who love Sonic, and then people roll their eyes at them. Not like, no offense, Robin, but people roll their eyes at the people, and then on the other side who hate Sonic, they just roll
Mario
their eyes
versus
like, oh,
Sonic.
I feel like those people don't even like Mario really. They're just like, Sonic's weird. Yeah. Or there's people who just they're obsessed with Sonic, and I just kind of was like, as a kid, I was like, I just think Sonic's kind of cool. But like I'd never realized there was this big kind of war. But like battle. But
I think it's very strange when it comes to live action turning a game like Sonic live action.
Yeah,
because
why?
I said, the Sonic looked very strange. It didn't look like traditional Sonic. And there's been some photoshopped images
but what would that
since
look
the
like
newest trailer come out.
In a live-action movie.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's what it would look like. And I feel like that's what you've got to do at the writer's table. You go, what would this look like? You draw it up and you look at it and you go, let's not make this film. That's what you do. That's what you do. You go, nah.
Yeah. I think that's what's really mind-boggling about this.
Yeah.
It's like... Movies take a long time to make. There's a lot of people involved. And when you're adapting a licensed property like Sonic, which is massive and Sega's golden egg, presumably they're going to have a big say in what goes on. A lot of people had a lot of discussions a lot of times about
and
what
they
this
went,
movie
this
should
right.
be.
And this looks good. This feels good.
This is what we've got.
This feels good.
I was almost shocked when Jim Carrey... I saw some... screenshots or leaked images previous to the trailer coming out, and I saw him in it, and it's very strange that he has become Dr. Robotnik.
Well, that he said, "Yeah, I'll do it."
A skinny guy with very short black hair is not the Dr. Robotnik I know.
Did you wait till the end of the trailer though? Did you see?
I did.
Did you see that image?
It teased him, but if it's just his skinny body, rather than just like a round, big round body.
So the reason why I'm more willing to go see Detective Pikachu is because in the Pokemon world, there's humans.
Yes.
So you know, it's not going to be so. The only thing that looks kind of, and all of the monsters, all of the pocket monsters, look like things we recognize. You know, Pikachu looks like a mouse. Yeah. Even though they don't, you know, maybe Mr. Mime looks a bit weird, but like, you know, and maybe the skin textures will be slightly, like a bit, maybe a bit, I don't know, not easy on the eye. Like, I think even Charizard, when I saw him, I was a bit like, oh, that looks a bit, not a bit weird, but just a bit odd.
Yeah.
But the thing with Sonic is that, you know, we've got a guy that is kind of like weirdly round and has like a bald head with like spiky orange hair and like round glasses.
Skinniest
and then you've got a hedgehog that's not really a hedgehog but it's blue and has like spikes on his back and his legs kind of just go into his tummy and he's got big shoes. So it's just like there's a difference because it's like we're not used to that. Yeah, it's not real. Like it's hard to put into real life. Whereas Pokemon works a little bit. As I said, it's going to be a bit strange, but I feel like it's more believable. Whereas this just looks, it has no charm about it, and it just looks a bit like just silly. Like it looks silly.
Yeah, like Detective Pikachu. Now that I think about it, now that you mentioned it, now that I've seen the Sonic trailer. Yeah, I didn't give it enough credit before.
Yeah, yeah.
It's kind of like what they've done is taken. Whoops. they've thought about it.
Yes.
Or they seem to have thought about it.
Mm-hmm.
And they've not just done like, let's do a live action version of the Pokemon. We're actually going to make this a world that will exist in the Pokemon universe.
Yeah, in the present day. Yeah.
We're going to make the movie that people might expect us to make visually.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's dark neon stuff, but that's different. Whereas the Sonic movie, it's just like, nobody wanted this.
And I think I'm all for a Sonic movie coming out. I'm all for them making a Sonic movie, but I think going that live action route, almost there are nuclear missiles going off and Sonic needs to save the day and Sonic needs to save planet Earth, or he said something along those lines. It's like, why?
Yeah.
If they were going to do it, they should have just stuck to maybe full animation.
Yeah, yeah.
Keep the environment very familiar to Sonic, like Green Hill Zone, for example.
Yeah, I was about to say that. So I was just like, why didn't they make like a charming animation like Spider-Verse or like even the Smurfs. I don't know if anyone saw, not the Smurfs, not the live action one. They made a Smurfs movie. And I thought, you know, it was kind of cool. Like,
what people want.
Yeah, yeah, it was kind of sweet. And it was like... it had Charlie Day in it, I was trying to think of who was in it. But it was like a 3D, but yeah, it was kind of charming. It wasn't, but it's what you expect to see.
Yeah.
And I just feel like,
Again, like, sorry.
Robin's banging his head.
The more I think about it, I'm just
Robin is getting angry.
It's 2019.
Yeah.
It's 2019.
It doesn't look good.
We've done this so many times. What people like is the property they love as faithfully adapted as possible.
The
latest Smurfs movie. Not the first two Smurfs
movies. Yeah, not the ones with
where they went
Barney,
into the real world. Because not only were they terrible, but they were not what people want.
No.
And it's not like Super Mario Brothers in 1993 or whatever it was. It's like, that's not what
that
people
wanted.
That
didn't work either.
People don't want a
Pokemon
live action
could be
like
the first video game
that actually
film
works.
That actually works.
Yeah.
Because, like you say, it's actually weirdly faithful to the property.
Yes, it can, the way they're making it as a I think when you compare it to the Sonic trailer, you're thinking actually it doesn't look that bad.
Okay, what do people love about Pokemon? They love that they could be the Pokemon trainer.
It could be your pet.
So
but
yeah,
they
so we're gonna have a recognizable human world with recognizable humans and realistic Pokemon animals, which. The design, incidentally, I think is probably easier to translate Pokemon into 3D CGI because they're not real animals.
Yeah.
They look like they've got characteristics of animals, but they're not real animals. So we don't know what they should look like.
Yeah.
Whereas obviously all the animals in Sonic are real animals that
don't look anything like a hedgehog. Yeah.
So they have to look like the hyper stylized versions they have been in the games all these years and in the cartoons. And again, like incidentally, Sonic X, the TV series. Do you ever see that? Same premise. Ooh. Sonic gets like transported into Earth.
Okay.
And like the animation was good, but like everyone said at the time, I remember as a child, a teenager, like and enjoying that show, but being like, why is this not in Green Hill Zone? Why is this not in Sonic World? This is on Earth and that's really boring.
What's cool
is the animation and the action. So Sega already know that this is something people don't
their,
want.
They already had their review bomb.
They already had it.
Jesus.
So it's like
I don't really understand.
I didn't think I'd get this on top of about Sonic, actually. but yeah, they should have made...
I also think even just by just watching the two trailers, Detective Pikachu, and Sonic, the stories that are just totally different. So it seems like we're going to warm to the Detective Pikachu. And I'm not happy that Ryan Reynolds is the voice, and I'll say that.
Okay.
But whatever.
Sonic?
No.
Oh,
Pikachu.
Right.
Not Sonic.
He's both of them.
Detective Pikachu, Ryan Reynolds. But it looks like the story isn't about... There's going to be action sequences, but it's not mad explosions and it's going to have a bit of substance. It's like going... They're going to find his dad and, we're going to be able to relate to the character a bit more. This is just a bit like... This is all for the crack. It seems like... Sonic, I'm talking about. It just seems like, we're just gonna do big like blow explosion scenes and it's gonna be nothing.
Cutesy buddy human relationship it's for families or whatever. Okay, well there's another question I shall ask you from
I should ask you even though Robin got very angry
from Chili One on Discord.
Hello.
Asks Dr. Eggman or Dr. Robotnik?
I'm a Dr. Robotnik kid.
Yeah, me too.
I think because of my age. Starting at the Sega Mega Drive.
I don't really know. I feel like Eggman.
You're an Eggman.
I'm going to say Eggman. Because, but I like I felt like I knew them both. I felt like, yeah, right. He's Dr. Robotnik, Eggman.
Ah.
I don't know. Like, yeah, it was just like, yeah.
Fair enough.
Sonic wasn't, again, even I did think Sonic was cool, but it wasn't something that was, I had a, when I was a small child, I had a SNES. So, and then I got a PlayStation 1 when it was like my time to have a games console. So I got a PS1. So kind of Sonic went over my head a bit.
I used to play the Choose Your Own Adventure Sonic books.
Wow.
I've still got three or four.
I didn't know about these.
Yeah. Oh, well, I'm going to a parent's.
Bring him in.
I'll bring him in. Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
There you go. So they were from the 90s.
Yeah,
that's how cool I was. Why play video games? You can play books.
And you can play books. And you can imagine it in your mind.
Yeah.
I don't know why they changed from Dr. Robotnik to Dr. Eggman.
I was really confused when I found out, because I thought he was a different character.
Yeah.
And then someone said, no, it's the same person. I was like, oh, that's why I look the same.
I feel like it was a translation thing, surely. I don't know. Was I'm it? Not sure. Yeah. We'll investigate that.
Yeah. Eggman is easier.
And he looks like an egg.
Yeah, yeah. Isn't that what
his
Sonic...
head looks like an egg.
Didn't Sonic his used he- to like jokingly call him Eggman? I thought, like, okay. as an insult.
Well, I mean, you had the books and the lore, so.
The deep Sonic lore.
You're like one of those. You're the other side. You're the You love Sonic.
Yeah, no, where are the Chaos Emeralds in the trailer, guys? Where are they? No, it's... Yeah, I don't know. I genuinely don't know. But also, doesn't he make, like, Robotnik? Is this a
And
cool
he
name?
Makes eggs.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
He throws eggs at Sonic. I just think, going back to the film real quick. Imagine, it, so there's number, say there's going to be number two, Sonic the Movie 2.
Don't say that, Rose.
There will be. There fucking will be. If nostalgia is a king at the moment, then this is where we're heading. We're heading to 2.
Yeah.
There's going to be a Tails and there's going to be a Knuckles in it. What's that going to look like?
How are they going to do
think
his
Tails
two
could
tails?
Be, yeah, I How think Tails could that? Be cute, but like the way that Not Sonic that. Is looking, this right is going to be well weird. If there's a Smurfs 2, there's going to, as in the one with Barney from How I Met Your Mother, then there'll be a Sonic movie, the two.
There's pictures online.
True.
I've seen circulating around of Sonic being compared to the boy in Jumanji. The original Jumanji film.
He does.
When
he gets
turned into a monkey.
Yeah, monkey.
That's Sonic.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he does.
Yeah. I mean, worse than that, though, like the CGI is just bad. Like, there's that close-up in the trailer of Sonic preparing to run, and like he does that frown thing.
Gotta go fast.
But his eyebrows are kind of liquid moving really weirdly, and it's like, whoa, that's not finished. Like that, they are whatever's going on there.
Well,
but
we'll find out the story. We'll find out the origins of Sonic, where he came from, why is he here?
Every hero needs a Genesis.
He just wants to run.
He just wants to run.
He's from the moon and he just wants to run.
He wants to go fast. He ran all the way to Earth.
They're actually going to nick the plot of Casper, and Sonic just wanted to be real all along.
I just wanted to be a real boy.
Yeah. At the end of it, he turns into a real hedgehog and he gets run over.
On the highway.
The end of Sonic.
Well, I think that's it for this week's episode.
What a
short,
fun
sweet
podcast. Short.
Couple of ropey mistakes at the start, but I think we got three.
There we go. We're all right.
Don't
thank you,
sweat it, Steph.
Thank you so much for the pleasure of your company and for having me on.
No
it's
problem
a privilege.
At all.
It really is.
Just to remind everyone as well that you can see Robin over at All Time Conspiracies.
Ooh,
got it right that time. Which is another YouTube channel where they talk all things
conspiracies.
All things
conspiracy.
All things gaming, actually. That's what we do. we make video essays and we discuss conspiracy theories, old and new, and just strange encounters in general. And in fact, we have our own weekly podcast, which I think Steph is going to join us on this week.
Got my new story.
I'll
head
go get
on
back
over
to work.
For some more Steph goodness. Roche is going to work. Yeah. The rest of us are just going to talk crap the rest of the time.
Just to remind everyone again that you can find us on Twitter, Instagram and Facebook at All Time Gaming TV. And if you wanted to ask us a question that could get featured onto this podcast, then use the hashtag AskATG because it makes it a lot easier for me to go through those comments and find them. If you wanted to support the channel, you can also join us on Discord. There will be a link if you are on YouTube in the description. You can go and join that from $1 a month. And there's also merchandise as well where you can get t-shirts,
merch,
jumpers, hoodies.
That's it.
And that's it. But you've got quite a large number of designs you've got in there now. Yeah, so no socks yet, but that's a good idea.
Oh. My personal favourite is the dolphin design.
Yeah, I like the dolphin design.
And that's all
that
I
is
to
really
say
cool, actually.
But there will be a link in the description to that, or if you're on YouTube as well, then you have got the little tray just under the video that you can go and click on to have a look at those. But thank you very much for joining me on today's podcast.
It was a pleasure. Thanks.
See you later, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed's sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.